Set an amateur up there and see what happens, right? Okay, well, praise the Lord, all of you people that came out this morning. And I think it was not this past Wednesday, of course, but a week ago, 10 days ago, Pastor had told us elders that he was going to be taking a trip to go down to Texas, Fort Hood, and see his brother before he's deployed going overseas. And we were thinking Dwight was going to cover the message for today, and we're good to go. And we also had communion planned for today, and that's going to be next week. But then talking with Dwight at Awana a week ago, he said, oh, no, they're going to be gone too. So it's like, okay, maybe I'll fill in and see what happens here. So here we are. And enough, maybe people heard about that. We're a little skimpy. But anyway, you get the full load, and we're talking in the office there before coming in about having things to say. Randy said about 5 minutes they thought they'd be out of stuff, you know. And I said, well, my problem's not so much not having enough, and I'll just admit it's having too much stuff and then piecing it together. So as we fly around this morning, hopefully you'll pick something up that will make some sense and encourage you and reinforce, fortify you to go out for the week. I want to start off here. Well, you know, sometimes I didn't get information to Matt, and Gail would tell you that. And that's because too much of the time it's kind of like, what's spontaneous? You know, what's going to happen now, and that's going to be what you do. And, you know, I could prepare, and I thought about things. I wrote, penciled out some stuff for, you know, 10 days when I knew that I was be here, and just different ideas. And it's like, yeah, that's okay. I don't know what I'll, nothing came together. And Friday I did some work. Yesterday I was on the mail route, got back later in the afternoon, evening, and started thinking, you know, it's probably time to really be serious and jot down and take note of some things. So, trusting the Lord is leading us and leading in what we've got for you today. I pulled together some stuff. Now, best thing to do besides being in prayer, and those prayers were, actually it was in last week's Sunday school at St. Patrick, the thing that we're doing, St. Patrick's Confessions, right? The title of it. And if you remember, we missed the first week of that Sunday school 2 weeks ago. Last week, one of the paragraphs said to effect, St. Patrick said, you know, I prayed like 100 prayers overnight. You know, like wake up and pray about this thing and that thing and so on. And then, if I remember right, he said, and in the daytime, no less than what he had at night. It's like, man, he's praying like all the time. And we think, boy, how, you know, when you go through a devotion time or whatever, or stop to pray, and you've got 5 minutes designated, this is prayer time, it's like, man, how am I going to fill up 5 minutes of prayer? Let me tell you, if we're not looking around, if we're not hearing, if our senses are just like completely gone, that's maybe the only, in other words, if you're dead, I guess, that's about the only time I can think of that you and we and me and I would not have enough things and stuff to pray about. So, I'm kind of with St. Patrick. You know, is it 1st, 2 Thessalonians 5:18? Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all things, and pray without ceasing all the time. So, let's start out with, let's go to Psalms 19, and this is going to be as an introduction, and not necessarily specifically what I'm going to be speaking on today, but I find it to conclude with what I'd like to share to start with. So let's, if you want to rise, stand just out of reverence for God's word, you can do that. So Psalm 19, and just go ahead and this is David, Psalm. I'm going to use King James Version. I don't know if Matt's got that up there. It's fine. It's good. It's a little easier for some. They like it better. And I'll explain after a while why a reason for using King James. So anyway, I'll go ahead with this. So, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone, and through all the earth, and their words, and to the end of the world, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Verse 6, his going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Finally, and this is the reason I had this chapter, and this is a prayer. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So what's in a word? Well, you know, a lot of times we all say things that it's like, oh, whoops. A moment later, it's like, why did I say that? Especially depending on the company and who's around. And, you know, I've no doubt have said things, you know, at home and with Gail, or maybe times work or when I was teaching, and who knows when. Maybe and probably, and if I start to thinking back, maybe even within context of church and our church meetings and this and that, or just relationships, that the words were not necessarily or not very close to this, that those words would have been acceptable to in the sight of or to the glorification of God. And so as David is writing this, you know, I think we too want to take stock and just be reminded of the things that are being expressed here. Want to kind of extrapolate a little bit and go along with this from Psalm. Go back to verse or chapter 18. I better check my. Hold on here. It's not 18. Actually, I want to go to chapter 51 and 52. In chapter 51 of Psalms, continuation of David and his story here. Pardon me for that. On chapter 51, 52, David has been confronted by Nathan. And it all comes after the time when David had done all the different things with Bathsheba and Uriah and all the mess that he got himself into, kind of a, you know, one sin that led to another and more. And if we go back into Samuel to get the full story or more complete story of that with David, then you can fill the details in. But with that, the thing that I want to look at is, in what we read, David is asking that his words would be acceptable to God. And we do know, we are reminded, we think of David as being a man after God's own heart, and yet when we think of the times, some of the things that he had done in his life, the sins and so on, that we think, man, if God can love him for the things he did, through adultery and the murders and the scheming and, you know, obviously lies and so on, covering up things, maybe there is some hope for us. Maybe there is God who will show the kindness and the accept the repentance from a heart such as what David had. And so I use that as a kind of as a illustration from the Old Testament that David, you know, being eventually king, lived up to that promise. And then the words that were penned, so much of the Psalms going in that direction for illustrating that the sin in our lives and his life and all of us, how that is tied to the need to at some point the brokenness and the repentance and coming back to the Lord. And, you know, the thing here, I'm not sure how much time had elapsed from David's actions until Nathan came to him, but I see here a situation where David was repentant of the sin itself, or the sins, multiple sins that were all tied together. And, you know, no indication that he had remorse that somebody had found out about it. And I don't want to bring this up to date in a sense, but a lot of times, you know, we think we can go on and on and on with our lives, and something that we're doing on the side here, no one knows about it. Eventually, when it's found out, it's like, oh man, how could that be? How could that happen? And you know, it's, you know, taking an illustration of our world today and the frequency that you hear of pastors and getting into pornography and using computers at the church to feed their appetite for that. And so it's like, whoa, are we in a sick world or what? You know, just the issues with that and it goes on from there. So anyway, here we've got some base, some foundation here with David in that past. The other thing I want to work at here is, or look at, is that if we go to, I had Hebrews chapter 12:23. I know Matt's pretty fast in this. He'll probably have it out there before I get to it myself. Hebrews 12:23. We know Hebrews 12, most of us are aware that there is a section in Hebrews pretty high devoted to discipline. Hebrews 12 covers that in verse 23. It's actually a reference about the church in general, but it follows. Let's see if I pick up maybe to lead into this. Chapter 12 of Hebrews at 14. And it says, we're going to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail the grace of God, and lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Lest it be fornicators or profane person, like Esau's, one who sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. And again, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And then move to verse 20, where it says, following up on some others here, for they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. And so we know Moses being one in history of being pretty close to God after his first encounter up on the Mount Sinai, and then, of course, leading the children of Israel, that he, in the King James, says, I exceedingly fear and quake. And then 22, but you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. And then 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect. What I want to look at there, or just a note of, is in that section or that unit on reference to discipline, that we get down to the point, and the word I want, and this is why I use the King James, uses the word church. Church being primarily, or church of the firstborn, but primarily church. And it's like, now when we hear the word church, okay, what comes to mind? And what is, and how would we define what church is? And so that's kind of where I'm wanting to lead to get to perhaps what should become the primary point here. And that is, so what is the church? What comes to mind? Well, we've got, you know, the basic definitions are going to be, well, it's a church as a capital C, being the overall body believers, those who've accepted Christ and follow him. And that, that in itself, I think, could be very broad, from different backgrounds. If we go to, you know, the Middle East, we've got the like the Coptic Christians in Egypt, to other Eastern Orthodox Christian background faiths, to obviously Roman Catholic, you know, and then the Protestant churches and denominations that have come out, you know, I have to say that within that realm, which is, if I have heard correctly, statistically, you know, Christians probably are a little more than a third of the entire world population right now. So if it's, let's say, 7.5 billion, I'm not sure, maybe somewhere like that. So a third would only be between 2 to 3 billion people are Christians, and then you've got, you know, the billions of others, from Muslims to Hindu and atheists or whatever, non-believers at all. So church, we think of the spiritual, the realm of people who want to claim Christ. You've got building, church, you know, things like that. We also, in looking at this, it drew me back to a question. I know several of you might have been here when Greg Donaldson was still the, we call him area director, but he lived in Sioux Falls. He was close. We could call him when we had questions or things. And I think he came sometime just to see how we're doing. And it might have been, I'm not even sure at what time. But his thought, or what he wanted to glean, I think, from us was, at that particular time, that meeting, was how do you guys do church, you know? And it's like, well, you know, we probably do church like, at least hopefully, a lot of Baptists. We come in, we've got, you know, the word is key and center. That has to always be prominent. You know, we've got some, we're blessed here with some talent for music. We spend some time in prayer, and all those things. And so that probably described our church. You know, we have our events that we acknowledge. You know, we have our Christmas activities, Easter activities, summer. You know, I think at that time we were probably doing our summer park service already a couple of times by then. And so a lot of what we do here is kind of routine, what we expect out of church. But I think, you know, obviously he was getting to a greater point, and that is, yeah, but what do you mean, but do you really do church as in, like, not just from 9:30 till noonish on Sundays, but what about, like, at 1 o'clock on Sunday till about 9 o'clock on the next Sunday? And you know, most of us, you know, I can only reflect on what I'm doing, but that really does need to have a little bit of a injection, I think, a lot of times. Not so much a preventive medicine, but injection of more of a doing, I'll just use aggressive, let's say, behavior and walk day by day, and stand up for Christ more when it really needs to be done, when it needs to be there. Which, as a side thought or just a comment, that this week, you know, brought up that the Family Research Council has a bulletin insert available that we can use, because on Tuesday the Supreme Court is going to be looking at the definition of marriage, I guess is how it's described. And maybe I can say this here out of church time. You know, we had pastor do a constitution meeting, or meetings, classes, that's a better term, for about 6 weeks earlier in the year. And, you know, go back to our country's roots and base. You know, what was the base for that? And we know that you're kind of preaching or talking to and visiting with the choir who's in on board with this, but that whole realm of questions, I guess, is kind of like, doesn't even make sense to most of us. So anyway, being in prayer, I think, for the leaders, we do pray for our leaders of the nation, country, state, local, church, all of us on the board, definitely ask for prayers as we have time to lead or help in leading. So what is church? Well, one of the things that I think would be appropriate, I guess, here is to say, well, especially in consideration of time, that there are some fundamentals that we need to be aware of. And I look back into Haley's Bible Handbook, which is kind of a commentary, just one little volume book. And in that, it had some ideas and thoughts about, you know, church concepts. And it basically comes down to two areas, two primary areas in our lives. One is to be in the body or together with the body at church, and then also to be in the Word. Now, he has given here a brief resolution, suggested resolution. And we know that if we go to different functions, resolutions are kind of suggestions, or we recommend you do this action or that one. Quite often, like at our triennial meetings, they'll have resolutions. You adopt them, churches take them, and it's kind of like saying, this is what we believe. So here's a suggested resolution concerning being together with the body of Christ and going to church. So a suggested resolution. which each one might make in his own heart. First off, believing that Christ founded the church. Second, that the church exists to propagate Christ's influence. Third, that the church's method of doing this is meeting together frequently in Christ's name. And the fourth point, that God himself planted the frequency of when you meet, that it's weekly, and then two sub-points. So it's weekly, and he gave us a specific day for that, which is Sunday, the Lord's Day. And in as much as common usage recognizes Sunday morning as church time. Hereby, I pledge that as long as I live, wherever I may be, unless hindered by sickness or necessity, that on Sunday morning I will go to church, trying to do it with one motive only, and that is to recognize and to give glory to Christ, and that I'll try to go on time and will be reverent in church. And then finally, this is kind of like the third main point. All my life, I will be a reader of God's Word. And so, as a church body, the importance of coming together and not just being here like a social club, because I know on some of the radio or broadcasts and things that I listen to occasionally, you know, that some churches kind of seem like that's their thing. You know, I'm part of this or that church, almost like I need to belong to something. And quick flashback, it's kind of like a pastor we had once that said, you know, for church, people kind of think of it as just a place for your hatching, matching, and dispatching. You know, you need it when you're born to be recognized, dedicated for our church. We dedicate others, you know, baptize the newborn. Hatching time. Matching. When you get married, oh yeah, the church will recognize it's a proper wedding. And dispatching. Now, how many of us know that, you know, people who've not been part of a church, but they feel that they have a need, or their family does, that when someone passes, that they have to get to a church to help lay that person to rest. Which, I don't know, is that an oxymoron? You know, if God's not important for our 70 years that he gives us, that one day when we give our last regards and so on, I don't know, personal, I guess, what difference should it make? And so what difference should it make? What difference should it make? Well, what was the last step here? Besides going to church, being reverent, and being on time, all my life I'll be a reader of God's Word. Not just a reader, but, of course, a doer. In James, I think it is the first chapter of James, it says, you know, it's not enough just to read the Word. We have to be doing the Word, and that it's not... we are not under a factor of works by any means. You know, we do the works because of God's grace and his love and what he's done for us. Just one illustration here that reinforces that thing about the reading of God's Word. George Muller, who was from England and kind of interesting, since we're doing something on St. Patrick, who was in England and way back. But George Muller, who was in his orphanages in Bristol, in England, did, by prayer and trust, one of the most remarkable things in Christian history, and attributed his success on the human side to his love for the Bible. And this is what he said. And this kind of goes with, was it last week or 2 weeks ago when Josh mentioned he... been keeping up with our Bible reading in here pretty much, and so I know some others have. But here's what George Muller says: I believe that the one chief reason that I have been kept in happy, useful service is that I have been a lover of Holy Scripture. It has been my habit to read the Bible through 4 times a year in a prayerful spirit to apply it to my heart and practice what I find there. I've been for 69 years a happy man. Now, if I had given the quote, happy, 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 who comes to mind? Duck Dynasty? No, that's George Mueller here. So I thought that was kind of interesting when I saw that. So, you want to be happy? Get into God's Word. Get into God's Word and read it. Not just to read it as a duty and so on, but read it, as he said, prayerfully and, you know, in the Spirit, and see what the Spirit of God is telling us in there and what Christ did for us. Most of us, in fact, I'm thinking back, you know, helping with Awana, that, you know, the first verse that I remember memorizing, and probably the only one until I was, 25 or something, was John 3:16. You know, and praise God that I learned that one, because it does, in a capsule, kind of say everything that is of most importance. But what's most important, not John 3:16, but read that entire chapter of John 3. Now, early parts, he says, you must be born again. That ought to shake most of us up, to be born again. What does that mean? You know, dig into that. Dig into his word, find out what that means. Continues on with salvation, the promise, and so on. And that, you know, God's not one who wants to judge and condemn us. Paul reminds us in Romans, you know, all have sinned, fall short of God's glory. And what's the wage for that sin? Death. But what does God provide? He provides eternal life through his Son, provides redemption. So that's the hope. That's the hope that we all have, is in Christ. In trying to draw to a conclusion here, what I want to leave you with is a little bit of a side story. And I did this at our Gideon convention a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, what's my point? Get into the Word. Be in the Word, and then be back with the believers someplace. And look to see that the Word is being taught from this spot, week to week. And I praise God, we've had good pastors here. We've had pastors who have been teaching the Word. They're in the Word. That's what they teach. But get to the Word. Fundamental, basic. Now, I know this is a toy, but what is it? Even Gail knows that. Okay, football. Who is one of the greatest coaches whose name is on the Super Bowl trophy? Vince Lombardi. Who is Vince Lombardi? Green Bay Packers coach back in the 60s, when the first Super Bowls. So we're coming up on the 50th, isn't it? Coming, I think. So it's over 50 years. When he started his season, gathers team in there, what does he start out with? Pulls out the football and says, gentlemen, men, whatever you call them, man, I suppose, this is a football. And then he starts, you know, with the spiel about the fundamentals. Likewise, as believers in Christ, the fundamentals, go back to those, and that is into the Word, and the ultimate fundamental, you know, Gale's use the John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Also, I was going to go back, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created, jump ahead a little bit quickly, Genesis 3, fall of man, sin. Since that time we've had sin to deal with, and we have hope in Christ for all the junk in our lives, personally, maybe as a group, whatever it may be. But Christ has paid the penalty, and so we can come back to him. And we do need to always remain in the fundamentals. Always remain in the fundamentals. We never get over, out of, beyond sin. There's always something that's in our lives that needs to be cleaned up. And that's all part of, you know, sanctifying, becoming holy, working at it, you know, do things to try to get it, understand who Christ is. So, there you go. Get back to basics. Get back to your Bible reading. Take it at heart, like George Mueller. Man, more and more each time you read it, you know, we read the Christmas story every year. Every year we should find something new in it. See something a little different that we hadn't seen before. So, with that, God bless you. Thanks for coming. Enduring. It's a little bit long. Actually, Randy said 20 minutes or an hour 20, right? I think I heard you say that in our time frame. Okay, Gail, you said you're going to have a song. Open up. We do have time to finish.